This is Twit.
You know, one of the biggest stories last week was we'd had some people asking. You know, we got into the whole what's going on with, you know, Broadcom and Qualcomm. Or at least I feel that we talked about that. I may be hallucinating at this point. And why Intel was stepping in and why Intel going after purchasing Broadcom possibly to protect their ability to sell modems to Apple. And one of the things that came out of this large, bizarre, rolling story about Broadcom's continuing attempts to acquire Qualcomm was something I didn't know was that Steve Jobs originally went to Intel and asked them to build a processor for the iPhone. And Intel thought the projections for iPhone sales were somewhere in between ludicrous and incredibly ludicrous, and thus began the giant mess that is Intel's lack of relationship to the mobile industry, except, of course, in the area of selling modems to Apple because of Apple's continuing fight back and forth with Qualcomm. It's all moot at this point because President Trump basically kiboshed the deal, citing the potential for national security issues. Or you could say American leadership in telecom. That's another way of looking at it, depending on which side of the fence you're sitting on that. But basically put the kibosh on the Broadcom acquisition of Qualcomm, mostly because everybody figured that if Broadcom racked up $100 million in debt to buy Broadcom, if Broadcom racked up $100 million in debt to buy Qualcomm, the end result would be Broadcom cutting to the bone to make profits, and of course to pay off that loan they would be taking out to purchase Qualcomm, which would reduce Qualcomm's ability to compete in the 5G community and help control 5G standards moving forward.
Right.
And this was, of course, you know, the owner of Broadcom is actually a U.S. citizen. The Broadcom's headquarters are in Singapore for, you know, convenience or tax reasons or whatever. They were, you know, getting in trouble with various and sundry government investigations by basically not announcing with enough time that they would be yanking the headquarters back to the United States, where the vast majority of Broadcom's employees are. It's been a crazy ride. It is effectively over. Do we care at this point? Is this going to have any lasting impact other than we keep hearing more and more and louder noises basically discussing, you know, the possibility of Chinese telecom manufacturers creating security issues in the United States? That seems to be kind of the big overarching trend in these stories.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that will be a legacy part of this, right? It paints a pretty specific picture of the fears of the U.S. government in terms of Chinese interference in technological innovation, right? If we talked about things in the past where Huawei wasn't allowed to sell, or Verizon was kind of pressured by the U.S. government to not sell Huawei devices to consumers and on, this is another, you know, kind of actually a direct implication against Huawei, because the letter from CFIUS, which is the Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States, basically stated that if Qualcomm were to recede from these markets in any way because of the acquisition by Broadcom, that the most likely candidate to fill in for this in terms of developing 5G technology, deploying infrastructure, was Huawei. And for whatever reason, love it or hate it, that the federal government has taken a pretty hard stance that they don't want to see that type of organization have that kind of influence. There were some other things in terms of national security. You know, Qualcomm does have direct, you know, high-level clearance contracts with the government, DOD in particular. Those probably could have been something that was, you know, divested off into its own company to keep doing things, and it might have been fine. But I do think the larger part of this was the assumption even that Broadcom was going to decrease R&D pretty dramatically, and thus Qualcomm would fall behind, and thus the biggest U.S. player in the space would no longer be the biggest player in the space. It sets an odd precedent, I think, obviously, for, you know, executive intervention and business dealings. It's only, what, the fourth or fifth time that CFIUS has even had to, you know, or that a president has made a decision based on a CFIUS recommendation of like this. And also considering that only 4 or 5 months ago, you know, President Trump and Hock Tan, the CEO of Broadcom, were seen, you know, having pictures together as they were announcing a redomiciling of the headquarters of Broadcom from Singapore back to the US. So it's a very complex process. I think for the industry itself, it creates some stability again. There has been basically 4 or 5 months of questions about what's going to happen with Qualcomm, mm-hmm. What's going to happen to all the competitors to Qualcomm and all the partners of Qualcomm. You know, a lot of these OEMs and phone vendors were starting to get a little bit worried. They set these roadmaps out for 5G, Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile. They have these roadmaps, all the carriers across the world, and they're all based on what Qualcomm says they're going to be able to produce over, you know, a certain number of years. Now, they were all anxious because if Qualcomm suddenly slowed down development, all of their capital expenditures that they were developing towards those goals would be at risk as well. Maybe they were overdeveloping, maybe they were overspending, they were going to lose money that way. So it stabilizes things in that way. I think it had an immediate negative effect on Qualcomm stock. It kind of reset back down to where it was before all the rumors started, which I think was expected. But now from Qualcomm's standpoint, I can tell you from talking with a lot of people inside the company that they can now just go back to doing work, right? They're going to go back and continue their projects and continue their development and, you know, all of that. So a kind of a sigh of relief across many people in the technology industry, and maybe some grumblings of anger and distrust from the investment community, I think is a fair way to put it.
We were going to make money off this deal. Therefore, no matter what your reason, saving human lives, preventing the spread of zombie infestations should not be considered.